welcome to everybody, a special welcome to our visitors. We're happy that you're here. We are trying to practice some of the suggestions by the health department to social distance and cover up and all those kinds of things. So we're also following their guidelines this morning with the service. It's somewhat abbreviated from what we're normally used to. And as time goes by, we'll probably expand it back to where we were, we hope. Announcements, this is the fourth Sunday of Pentecost. And Wednesday we will have a men's breakfast. We're calling it BYOB, Bring Your Own Breakfast. And we'll try to host it at Union. And it just dawned on me that we were going to Zoom it too. And I'm not sure we can Zoom it from the basement of Union. I'll have to check that out. So if it's not there, we'll be here. Try to keep this straight. Wednesday we'll have confirmation right here at St. Luke's, and I'm suggesting that they bring their own snacks too. Thursday the Bible study will be via Zoom. If by some chance you try to get onto the Bible study and nothing shows up, call me, because there are several possibilities of pushing the wrong button and not having it on the right channel. All learning experiences. So welcome again, and let's begin our worship. We'll stand and turn to the thanksgiving for baptism. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Joined to Christ in the waters of baptism, we are clothed with God's mercy and forgiveness. Let us give thanks for the gift of baptism. We give you thanks, O God, for in the beginning your Spirit moved over the waters, and by your word you created the world, calling forth life in which you took delight. Through the waters of the flood, you delivered Noah and his family. Through the sea, you led your people Israel from slavery into freedom. At the river, your Son was baptized by John and anointed with the Holy Spirit. By water and your word, you claim us as daughters and sons, making us heirs of your promise and servants of all. We praise you for the gift of water that sustains life. And above all, we praise you for the gift of new life in Jesus Christ. Shower us with your Spirit and renew our lives with your forgiveness, grace, and love. To you be given honor and praise through Jesus Christ our Lord, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. God is here, number 526 in the Red Book. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, you direct our lives by your grace and your words of justice and mercy. Reshape the world. Hold us into people who welcome your word and serve one another through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
I cannot talk and breathe with that thing on me or sing, so I took it off just for this. Excuse me. The first reading is from the 28th chapter of Jeremiah. Through a symbolic action, Jeremiah insisted that Judah and all the surrounding nations should submit to the king of Babylon. That's in Jeremiah 27. Hananiah contracted the word of Jeremiah, who in reply insisted that Hananiah's rosy prediction should not be believed until it came true. God confirmed the word of Jeremiah and sentenced the false prophet Hananiah to death. The prophet Jeremiah spoke to the prophet Hananiah in the presence of the priests and all the people who were standing in the house of the Lord. And the prophet Jeremiah said, "Amen. May the Lord do so. May the Lord fulfill the words that you have prophesied and bring back to this place, from Babylon, the vessels of the house of the Lord and all of the exiles. But listen now to this word that I speak in your hearing and in the hearing of all the people. The prophets who preceded you and me from ancient times prophesied war, famine, and pestilence against many countries and great kingdoms. As for the prophet who prophesies peace, when the word of the prophet comes true, then it will be known that the Lord has truly sent the prophet." Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us read portions of Psalm 89 responsively. It's in your bulletin. "Your love, O Lord, forever will I sing. From age to age my mouth will proclaim your faithfulness.
For I am persuaded that your steadfast love is established forever.
You have set your faithfulness firmly in the heavens. I have made a covenant with my chosen one. I have sworn an oath to David, my servant.
I will establish your throne forever and preserve your throne for all generations.
Happy are the people who know the festal shout. They walk, O Lord, in the light of your presence.
They rejoice daily in your name. They are jubilant in your righteousness.
For you are the glory of their strength, and by your favor you might be exalted.
Truly our shield belongs to the Lord, our King to the Holy One of Israel."
The second reading is from the 6th chapter of Romans. Whoops. What did I forget? Oh, well, never mind. I'm sorry. "Sin is an enslaving power which motivates us to live self-serving, disobedient lives. Sin's final payoff is death. We, however, have been set free from sin's slavery to live obediently under God's grace, whose end is the free gift of eternal life." Starting with verse 12. "Do not let sin exercise dominion in your mortal bodies to make you obey their passions. No longer present your members to sin as instruments of wickedness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and present your members to God as instruments of righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. What then? Should we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? By no means. Do you know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that you, having once been slaves of sin, have become obedient from the heart to the form of teaching to which you were entrusted, and that you, having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. I am speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to greater and greater iniquity, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for sanctification. When you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. So what advantage did you then get from the things of which you now are ashamed? The end of those things is death. But now that you have been freed from sin and enslaved to God, the advantage you get is sanctification. The end is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God.
The Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 10th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to the twelve, anyone who welcomes you welcomes me. And those who welcome me welcome the one who has sent me. If you welcome a prophet in the name of a prophet, you will be blessed. If you welcome a righteous person in the name of a righteous person, you will receive righteousness. If you give even a cup of cold water to a little one like this, you will be blessed. If you give even a cup of cold water in the name of a righteous person, you will in every way receive righteousness. That's the good news, the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Some of you probably know that in my younger years, I had decided that I was going to become a professional musician. I played the piano, played the organ. In fact, I started playing the organ for church when I was about 11. And so, you know, by the time I was 12, I was practically a professional. And I could sing, so I thought, you know, that'd be a great profession. Lots of fame and fortune and all of that. And that all changed when I went to the only church camp I ever went to. I'll make a long story short, but I was sitting at the campfire listening to a pastor preach a sermon. And I can't tell you that I heard a voice. I can't tell you that I saw anything unusual. But there was something within me that all at once I realized my plan wasn't God's plan. That I felt the presence of Jesus calling me in a different direction. Hence the title of my sermon, Our Plan or God's Plan. We all make big plans. But the question is, how do we know when our plan and God's plan are not the same? What do we do? Paul Stuckey from Peter, Paul, and Mary wrote a song that became popular and famous for a while. Oops, we're falling apart here. And in his song, it was called The Day Is Done. And as they were preparing, as they had just recorded it and were getting ready to put it out, he had a religious experience. And he wanted to change the refrain, but it was too late. As far as the publishing company or the producers were concerned, they didn't want to change it because it changed the meaning of the word. But this is the way the song went as he presented it, or as he wanted to. Tell me why you're crying, my son. I know you're frightened like everyone. Is it the thunder in the distance you fear? Will it help if I stay very near? I am here. And if you take his hand, my son, all will be well when the day is done. And if you take his hand, my son, all will be well when the day is done. Ask why I'm sighing, my son. You shall inherit what mankind has done. In a world filled with sorrow and woe, if you ask me why this is so, I really don't know. And if you take his hand, my son, all will be well when the day is done. And take his hand, my son. All will be well when the day is done. Day is done. Day is done. Well, there's more to that song, but hope that'll stay. The question is, how do we take our plan and allow God to mold us into the plan that he has for us? What does it take to follow God's way instead of our own way? That was the problem Jeremiah had in our first reading. Jeremiah is preaching to a people in Judah who have already gone through by this time. Last week we talked about their first exile. In 587 B.C., when Nebuchadnezzar came down from Babylon and carried many of the people off into exile. And Jeremiah got slapped down for even considering trying to talk to the king. Remember, Jeremiah is that weeping prophet who is a reluctant prophet, doesn't really want to do it, but he has to go to the king and tell him, the way you're living, the way you're leading our nation into idolatry is false and not good. Well, now the first exile has taken place, a new king, Zedekiah, is in place, and now the same thing is going on. The false prophets are telling the king what he wants to hear. You know, it's kind of like many political leaders who, you know, they want somebody who will be yes man and tell them what they want to hear, not what is what God wants them to hear. For instance, with Jeremiah, is the king at that time has been leading the people into idolatry, into pagan worship, allowing that to take place, and the false prophet is saying, oh, it's okay, you can dabble in that, and God really doesn't mind. And as we said last week, they were of the opinion, we are God's people. God won't let anything happen to us. It doesn't matter what we do. Jeremiah said, that is not true. That is a lie. And for that, of course, they threw him in prison. They threw him in a well. They did all kinds of nasty things to him. But Jeremiah said, there are some ways in which we know what is the will of God. Now, we've all heard of Son of Sam and some of the and the Manson and some of the other mass killers who have claimed that they did it because God told them to. God told me to go kill that person. God told me to do this or that. One of the rules of thumb which we can live by is that God never tells anyone to break one of God's laws. Let that sink in. God never tells anyone to break one of the commandments. If you're hearing that word, I need to go out and stomp on somebody, or I need to go out and steal something, or whatever, ask yourself, is that in keeping with God's will? If it's not, it's not the word of God. It's all the word of a false prophet. The second thing that comes up that Jeremiah points to is the fact that if the word of the prophet comes true, it is truly a word of God. Jeremiah already knew that Judah was going to fail, that they were going, the ones in exile were not going to be coming home, but more would be going into exile. The word of the prophet would not hold. The Apostle Paul deals with something similar with false teachers within the church who are of the opinion that, as we said last week again, the more you sin, the more God can forgive you. So, you know, the more you sin, the more grace can come upon you. Isn't that great? We can do whatever we want. But Paul says, no, that doesn't work that way. The wages of sin have never changed. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of eternal life is God's gift to us. We are called upon to be God's people, living by God's law and living by God's love and sharing that. When Jesus talks to his disciples and he says, if anyone welcomes you, they welcome me. And if anybody welcomes me, they welcome the one who sent me. But it's the cup of cold water that sometimes people wonder, well, is that all I have to do is give a cup of cold water to somebody who's thirsty? Well, Jesus knew that the wells of that day were really deep. And that children, for instance, couldn't put the bucket down and lift up a bucket of water. Somebody had to do it for them. And there are many people in the world who are in that boat, not in getting a bucket of water out of a well, but in any kind of life. That's why we participate in the food pantry, why we participate in Meals on Wheels and disaster relief. Those kinds of things where other people don't have that simple cup of cold water. The simple things that they really need. Jesus encourages them to give that so that we can share it with others who don't have it. There is a song in in the book, if you want to follow along with it. It's hymn number 760. I'm just going to sing one verse. But it reminds us that Christ didn't come and give us simply a cup of cold water. He gave us even more. Oh God, Christ the same, through all our story's pages, our loves and hopes and failures and our King of all the ages, unchanging still amid the passing years. O living Word, the source of all creation, who spread the skies and set the stars ablaze. Jesus is pointing to throughout this gospel and throughout the scriptures is that he came not just with a cup of water, but with his own body, his blood, his word, his very life, so that we would have life. Our problem often comes in that we somehow think that we can earn what Jesus has already done. The doctor was at the bedside of a woman who was dying. He had had to tell the woman's son that she probably wouldn't make it through the night. The son said, "Well, boy, I sure hope she's paid her dues." And the doctor said, "You know, I've just given you bad news. But what you've said is even worse news. Your mother can in no way pay the dues that are required. I hope that you're not planning to get into heaven by what you do. Fact is, I have given my hands, my head, my skills as a doctor, not in order to get into heaven, but as a thank you to God, because I know that what needs to be done so that I can get into heaven has been done by Jesus Christ. He will make certain that you will get into heaven. You cannot do it on your own." So the gift of God that comes to us is the gift that keeps on giving. A gift that says, in Jesus' name, we have been forgiven. In Jesus' name, we will be welcomed into his kingdom. What we do with that is our response. That is our choice. Remember when Neil Armstrong stepped on the moon for the first time, stepped out of the Eagle and onto the moon, he said, "One small step for man, one giant leap for mankind." What most people don't realize is that, well, they probably do, outside of that space suit, he would have died. He could not have lived. And he had to submit himself to that suit. And I learned the hard way what that meant. When our kids were 10 and 12, we took them to Universal Studios in California. And they were doing a short video simulation of the moonwalk, of spacewalking. And for some reason, every time they were asking for an adult volunteer, my kids volunteered me. And so I was volunteered to be one of those, I think there were three of us, who were walking in space. And they put us in these space suits that were hooked onto a cable so that our feet weren't even on the ground. We were hanging there in air. And those suits are very uncomfortable, and they're hard to manipulate through our earpiece, because we couldn't see anything, or you know, we couldn't really talk. They would tell us what we needed to do: move your right arm, move your left arm, walk. Well, in a suit like that, the tendency is to want to kick, not walk. And they'd say, "Don't kick. Walk." Well, the suit is heavy and it's awkward and it's really hard. You really had to submit to not only what the people were saying in your ear, but to what the suit would allow you to do. Sometimes we feel that with God's word, that we are called upon to submit to a word that's uncomfortable, that isn't according to our plan. But God calls us to be a part of his plan, to walk in his way, to live in his life, so that we too can experience the joy of sharing our lives with him. You see, that's really the good news. And it's the good news that we share this day, knowing that Christ has called us to be his own wherever we are. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let Let's stand and sing together. Lord, speak to us. 676 in the Red Book. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Called into unity with one another and the whole creation, let us pray for our shared world. If there are those for whom you'd like to pray, I'll pause at the appropriate place for you to name them as we pray. Expansive God, you bring diverse voices together to form your church. Open our hearts and unstop our ears to learn from one another that differences might not overshadow our baptismal unity. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Providing God, your creation shows us that life comes from death. Renew the places where our land, air, and waterways have been ill or for too long. Direct the work of all those who care for birds and their habitats. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Protecting God, sustain and keep safe all who work to defend others across the world. Revive and strengthen organizations dedicated to caring for refugees and migrants while their homelands struggle for peace. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy
is great. God of care, you created us in your image. Help us see your likeness in one another. Open our eyes to see and attend to all who face sickness and suffering. Console, heal, and nourish all who are in need, especially Michelle Lofgren and others we name in our hearts before you now. Hear us, O God,
your mercy is great.
Compassionate God, you are with us and we are never alone. Bless all fathers and father figures who strive to love and nurture as you do. Comfort all who long to be fathers and all those whom this day find difficult. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Open our hearts and minds to receive the gifts of your Holy Spirit, O God. Grant a double measure of your Spirit to our joint call committee, to Don Scantling, Barb Millett, Peggy Bjerke, Cheryl Gerard, Kathy Ryman, Bill Hawley, Leslie Pearson, Loretta Funk, Dean Knauer, Scott Madsen, and Walker Silbernagel. Bless also our church council with your wisdom. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Receive these prayers, O God, and those too deep for words, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who has taught us to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
We thank you for sending your offerings to the church, or they are placing them in the offering plate. We give thanks for those now. Let us pray. Blessed are you, O God, maker of all things. Through your goodness, you have blessed us with these gifts, ourselves, our time, and our possessions. Use us and what we have gathered in feeding the world with your love, through the one who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. Lord, make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. Lord, look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Amen. Give to our God immortal praise. Share the good news.
Thanks be to God. We will.